one local songwriter to another. That's Soak there with Sea Creatures. We've got Stevie Martin, a.k.a. Rinnie Boy Sleep, in the studio now. Stevie, thanks for joining us.
Cheers for having me.
Yeah, just before we get to you, we've got loads of messages coming out. Now, the road into St Johnston is treacherous with oil. Cars are slipping on it, so please be careful. Must get that out there. So be careful on the St Johnston road. Stevie, thanks for joining us. You were in with John Breslin before, so what have you been up to since then?
I'm just back from England. I've been recording the video for new single Manchester Post. So I'm really happy with how it looks so far. I'm hoping everybody else will, but I think it looks pretty cool. So looking forward to getting that out so you can see it.
Yeah, I've been listening to Manchester Post this week. It's a good song. And I've played it to a few old people, like my girlfriend, and they were saying, oh, great song. So I think Lee Gooch was playing it yesterday, so it's going down well anyway. I was saying when I got you in today, Rainy Boy Sleep, where's the name come from?
Rainy Boy Sleep is a phrase that I used to describe like quite a dark time in my life where I kind of didn't see the point, and I'd wake up of like, well, you know, what's the point in getting up today, kind of thing. But it was, you know, it might sound bleak in that, but it was the songs then that kind of that gave me a purpose, and sort of slowly but surely, you know, struggled away out of that place. So that's what the Rainy Boy Sleep thing is.
And then you're saying though, you're kind of in, was it a dark place you're in, where that name kind of came out of, or just feeling down?
Well, yeah, that's it. Well,
would it influence a lot of your songwriting then, or?
It does. I mean, life humbles you, doesn't it? And I guess you have to know the bad experiences to write about the good ones as well. Sometimes.
Yeah, so. And I suppose I was listening to Ambulance. I suppose the lyrics and the tune of the song don't really go together, because it's more like the tune's quirky, and then with the lyrics are.
Yeah, it's quite a tongue in cheek take on I was kind of unhappy about a few characters about town, and you know it's dark subject matter, all right, yeah, but just done in a kind of take the hand way.
There's a great remix that too by Ruben Keeney
here from the town, yeah.
And you're working away with him, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ruben's produced the whole album, so yeah. I couldn't have possibly imagined it coming out better.
And when's the album been released?
We're working on the next single first of all. We'll take it from there, you know.
Yeah, and Ruben's kind of making a name for himself too, isn't he?
Ruben's doing very well, yeah.
And any festivals planned for the summer? You've done Glastonbury quite a few times and things like that.
Yeah,
so.
I've played Glastonbury 3 times. We don't have anything confirmed yet. We're not allowed to say anything yet. So I'll hold you in suspense for that one.
Surely you'll be doing Glastonbury again if you've done it 3 times.
I really can't say.
Nothing.
I'll be playing. I'll be playing Vicar Street now on the 19th of March. That's an evening for marriage equality awareness.
Oh, very good.
So Panty Bliss and Anna Nolan, they'll be some of the guest stars at it as well. So really looking forward to that. That's the 19th in Vicar Street.
19th in Vicar Street. Any other local gigs then as well? Or
keeping you in suspense for that one too.
Oh, yeah. Thank you to give us an exclusive. Yeah. And it was just when we were talking with Glastonbury, I was at Glastonbury after the year U2 played. Mm-hmm. And what's it like to perform there? I know to be there, I found it just out of this world. It was quite amazing, but what's it like performing there?
Performing there is, you just get treated so well, really, by all the production. Everything's so slick, you know, so professional. And it's really a pleasure to be there, and everybody gets it. We're all, even though we're working, you know, we're still at Glastonbury. I mean, this is the most amazing festival in the world. Like, everybody's in a good mood. Like, yeah.
And I suppose if you weren't playing, would you be looking to go to?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, kill two birds with one stone. Yeah,
say. Yeah. I was just reading through your music and all this week. To me, it's pop music. It's good pop music, but you describe it as folktronica. Where'd that come
from? Pop / folktronica. Yeah. I mean, you see, the song started off as quite singer songwriter songs, and you know, I needed more than that as well for like, because, you know, everybody just wants to dance, you know.
Mm.
So taking the songs into Reuben Keeney and him producing them, it created this mesh between the acoustic, the folk, and the electronica. So the folktronica, you know, that's Goldfrapp. They'd be an influence of mine.
Yeah.
So you know, it's this lovely marriage between the earthy sounds of the guitar and then the process beats.
What else would you call your influences then?
There's a lot in there. The Cure's definitely worth mentioning. Their songwriting, the way they layer up their songs, I've always loved that. And then I suppose you're always influenced by the stuff that your mum and dad listened to in the car when you're
away. People are.
Well, some people kind of want to get away, but no. There's lots going on in there.
Yeah. I suppose we're talking about influences. It was on that Six Towns radio. You listed your top 10 songs for them, and I was going through it. There's like Snow Patrol, 1975, The Cure, Meatloaf, The Smiths, Neil Young, Benny King. Like, there's a lot of completely different
mm-hmm.
types of music, but they're just like a wide brand.
Yeah,
but they'd all be influenced as well, would they?
I love just, you know, you can't listen to hip hop all the time. You can't listen to acoustic music all the time. I love, you know, being eclectic, doing something different with every song, and every song dictates that as well. Each song.
And I suppose when I was looking at the top 10 songs, Smashing Pumpkins, one of my favourite songs too, so it gives me an excuse to play it. So we'll play this and we'll come back with a bit of music with yourself.
Cool, then. Yeah.
Ride above the street.
Smashing Pumpkins on Highland Radio. What do you think of that? There cool. You go. Where did I do with that? The road in St. Johnston. I've been told to read it out again. Apparently there's about 4 cars off the road. So the road into St. Johnston is treacherous with oil. Cars are slipping on it. Please be careful. So please be careful. It must be really bad when there's cars coming off the road. It's near you, St. Johnston, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful on the way home.
Yeah.
Suppose we'll be here now. You're going to perform for us. What song you want to perform?
I'm going to play a song of mine called Waiting Games.
Okay, whenever you're ready. Thank you, that's great. Cheers, Rinny Boy Sleep. Stevie, that was brilliant.
Thank you, cheers.
Thanks. I suppose there's a few people texting and asking, is Rinny Boy Sleep doing any gigs locally? But you're not telling us.
I have to do the commitments thing. We strike when you least expect it.
Your manager's looking in here, so don't be saying. But sure, we can follow you on Twitter and Facebook and we can get your gigs there.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so for anybody who wants to know when you're gigging, you'll announce that there. And the album as well, still no date, but it's going to be coming up shortly, is it? Or maybe summertime?
Yeah, very soon anyway.
So with you and Ruben, it'll be a lot of people looking forward to that.
This
song we're going to get you introduced. It's going to be on the new album, Manchester Post. So if you want to introduce us for us.
Yeah. Hi, this is Stevie. I make music under the name Rainy Boy Sleep. And this is my next single. This is called Manchester Post. Upside down, outside in your tell your friends the same, but I'll claw your bloody eyes out if you ever come around again. Well,
Rinny Boy Sleep Manchester Post. That's his new single, as Stevie introduced it there. Catchy tune, isn't it? It's really good. We're going to take a commercial break now, but coming up after the break, we'll have Michael Kelly on the show. Michael plays Doug Stamper in the Netflix series House of Cards. We're really looking forward to getting him in the show. It's a good one to have. Any House of Cards fan, stay tuned. We'll be back after these. Okay, welcome back to the Weekend Edition. Now on the show, we have a very special guest for House of Cards fans. We have the one and only Michael Kelly, who plays Doug Stamper. Michael, good morning and thanks for joining us in the show.
Good morning, my pleasure. How are you?
I'm good. Michael, I suppose first of all, I haven't got a chance to begin season 3 of House of Cards so far. So when I heard I was interviewing you, I thought, he's dead, so why am I interviewing him? But I watched the first episode of season 3 last night, and Doug Stamper is very much alive, which comes as a surprise to a lot of fans.
Yeah, and actually to me too for a bit there, it was a surprise. I had started to worry a little bit when I was in the Italian Alps doing a movie called Everest last winter, and everyone started emailing me saying, including my dad started it, and he was like, I don't know, you look pretty dead to me. And we had filmed it as a cliffhanger. But then everyone started emailing me, and I was like, hey, what's going on? And then I heard everyone's deals started being made for season 3, and I hadn't heard anything, and I was like, it's House of Cards. They have no problem killing off characters. So I thought maybe they'd change their mind or whatever, but then I finally got the call and was very relieved to hear that I was still alive.
So without giving too much away for people who haven't watched the full series of Series 3, but going by the first episode, Doug Stamper, it looks like, is going to have a prominent role.
Once you find out that he is alive, obviously he's not in the best shape to start the season after suffering the injury that he suffered, but being left out there for a while himself, so... He has a long road ahead of him to get back to being Stamper.
Tell us about Doug Stamper. What kind of guy is he? Is he evil, or is he just extremely loyal to Francis Underwood?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm biased. I would say he's probably more loyal than evil. I think that evil is a necessary in achieving the utmost loyalty. The evil's going to come out. But, you know, for me, Doug Stamper is, you know, the loyalty to Francis is a byproduct of his dedication to his work. With alcoholics, they take that energy when they remove alcohol from the equation, they tend to funnel it into one thing. And for me, I just chose to make that, you know, that's what grounds him in his dedication to his work and to his job and to Francis is that you put everything in there. Then, of course, Rachel comes along and there's another addiction. But it's all, for him, it's all addictions. And that's what makes him operate the way he operates.
And I'd guess you yourself, you don't have much in common with Doug Stamper.
No, thank God. I never stop smiling. He never smiles. That's our biggest difference there. It's funny when I meet people, I was just like, I can't I can't even believe that's you. Like, you're totally nothing like him. And it's true. I mean, you know, I drink, he doesn't. Well, this evening he dabbles a bit, but you know, we're totally different people, and that's fun to play. You know, it's fun to get into.
And let's just talk about the success of the show. It's been an absolute phenomenon. Did you ever expect it to get so big?
No, I had no idea. I mean, look, when I signed on to the show, you know, it already had David Fincher and Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright and Bo Willimon, and already had all these great people involved. So for me, it was a no-brainer. Of course I was going to do this job. But the only unknown to me was Netflix. I was like, well, you know, we're going to make a heck of a show, but no one might ever see the show, but I know we're going to make a good show. So, you know, I didn't know anyone would see it. I certainly didn't know we'd be eligible for awards. You know, we were the first streaming show to be considered for an Emmy. That was pretty cool.
And do you find that more and more people are new to House of Cards because it's on Netflix?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I think, you know, Netflix sort of saved Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad had run its course, I think, with AMC, and the numbers weren't so great. And then Netflix bought Breaking Bad to stream on its show, the first two seasons, I think it was. And that's when it became the hit that it became. You know, people were watching it, but nothing like it was once Netflix got a hold of it, and people could binge. And that's sort of how they figured out that binging was how people actually wanted to consume television.
Yeah, and you talk about Breaking Bad. Like, I know friends of mine who are only starting to watch that, even though that's been so successful.
And
that's what Netflix gives. It's people can just start watching series that have already been popular.
Right, and they can watch it however they want. You know, people, we unfortunately, I think we've become such a busy society, especially here in the States, just to such a go. There's no time for anything. So that you want to be able to watch it when you want to watch it and how you want to watch it and without commercials. And Netflix just gives that to you. I think they saw what was happening and they said, we got something here. Let's go with that, you know. And they did it right, you know.
And was filming for a Netflix series, is that different to anything else you've shot before?
As far as television goes, it's different from other television I've done, only in that we get your typical network shows here in the States, you get 8 days to shoot one episode. We get 10. Also, it's different in that we shoot two episodes at a time. So really for us, and we have these phenomenal directors coming on, so for us, you get to make these little mini movies, you know, every once a month. It takes about a month, physical calendar month, to make two episodes of television. So that's a big plus. But as far as, like, making it for streaming as opposed to making it for network or whatever, as an actor, you're not experiencing any differences, no.
And what's it like working with Kevin Spacey? I know I'm only in the first season, and as I started to watch it, I thought straight away, Kevin Spacey's just absolutely perfect to be playing Francis Underwood. He just fits this character so well.
Yeah, I gotta say, man, I mean, that was obviously one of the most appealing things for me as an actor to take on the role. You know, I was like, well, you know, I'm his chief of staff. I'm going to get to act with Kevin Spacey every day. And it's someone who I've looked up to for a long time and, you know, really just looked at his performances and just been like, wow, I want to be like that guy. So I said, oh, what the hell? It's going to be great to go and, you know, act with Kevin Spacey every day. I'm sure he's going to learn a lot, you know? And so for me, it's been a thrill, you know, because he's a very serious actor, but a very fun and funny man. So it makes for a great overall experience on set, that's for sure.
And I suppose the main thing that all House of Cards fans want to know, is there going to be a season four?
I certainly hope so. They haven't officially picked it up. I don't think we've finished our story, so I can't imagine there not being a fourth season, because I don't think the story's done being told.
Can you see it running much more than a fourth or fifth season, though?
No, that would be if I had to guess, gun to my head, I would say five would be probably about as far as we'd take it. But I also know Bo Willimon, you know, he's a genius writer, and and a great, great showrunner. And so he's going to, when it's done, it's done. And it won't be done before or after that, because that's just the way he operates. You know, he's not scared to take on anything, and he's not scared to do it his way. And I just admire the heck out of him for that.
And apart from House of Cards, you mentioned earlier in the interview the film Everest that's coming out this year.
Yeah.
I was looking that up. There's quite a cast.
Yeah, it really is, man. I mean, talk about an honor to be a part of that thing, man. It's, you know, so many great actors, from Joan Hall to Brolin to Robin Wright's in it. It's great. And I think we made a really, really great film, too. It's going to be 3D, big release in the fall. And, you know, I think that'll be a really good one.
And do you find House of Cards has opened up more acting opportunities for you?
Oh, yeah. Like, without a doubt. I mean, I'm so thankful to the show for, you know, Clint Eastwood and Changeling, that was a big thing in my career and sort of changed how I was perceived in the industry. But this House of Cards really, really did it. You know, I was talking with the director of the film I'm currently shooting called The Secret in Their Eyes. And this one's with Nicole Kidman and Julia Roberts and Chiwetel and Alfred Molina. Just another great cast. And the director just told me, he was like, I watched House of Cards. He's like, my wife and I were the biggest fan. When I was writing the script, I said, I want that guy to play this role. And he only knew me from that, you know. Even though I'd had a body of work prior, I never would have got the role in this film had it not been for House of Cards, so...
I suppose, Michael, before we let you go, the surname Kelly, it actually comes from Donegal.
Yeah, yep. Is it Kerry Keel?
Kerry Keel, yeah, Kerry Keel.
Yeah, 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 that's where my dad's dad and mother were from there, and they came over on a boat. And about 3 or 4 years ago, my brother, for we're a very tight-knit family, I'm the oldest of four, My brother found the original postcard that my grandfather had sent back to his folks on the boat over. He'd sent it once he wrote it on the boat, obviously, and then sent it over once he got to the States and said, you know, typical Irishman, he was like, I'm fine, don't worry about me, everything's great, I'm here. it chokes me up because he was such a great, great man, my grandfather, and he had this incredible work ethic, and he was a, you know, no money, and he was a super of an apartment building in Philadelphia, and passed on that work ethic to my father, who then passed it on to me, who I will pass it on to my son now. And it's nice to have those roots, you know.
And have you ever been to County Donegal to try and trace your roots?
Never. I never have been. I definitely plan to go. When I was in London doing Everest last year, it was my plan to go for, I was going to go for a weekend. And of course, you know, last minute they're like, oh, we're going to do a publicity shoot on Saturday and Sunday. And I was like, damn it. Cause yeah. I really want to go. But I think it's better cause now I get to go with my brother and my dad or my wife and my mom and dad or something, you know?
Yeah, you should visit. It's a beautiful place.
And my dad has a, you know, he's got a framed picture of his father's home in Ireland. And, it's this little white thatch roof thing is just, you know, it's a lot to us and our family. And my dad's not a big traveler, but I'm going to make him go.
Yeah, you should let us know when you're coming over.
I definitely will, man.
Michael Kelly, the man who plays Doug Stamper, thanks for joining us on the show. It's been fantastic having you on.
Absolute pleasure, man. Thank you, and give my love to Ireland.
Welcome back to the Weekend Edition. 11:57 now, only 7 minutes left in the show. But joining us in studio now is Eimear Maguire from Strabán. Eimear, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Eimear, you won the FameLab Northern Ireland competition last week. It's a global science communication competition. So it's a science competition.
Yeah.
So when you hear it, you think it's science competition. But what you won it with... I don't know, when I hear science, I think, oh, it's a bit boring. But I watched your video of your presentation on YouTube, but it was anything but boring. So just tell us what your presentation was on, what it was about.
Well, we had to pick a science topic and talk about it for 3 minutes. So I decided to talk about the science of kissing. I knew a lot of people were going to go down the route of explaining something very... I don't want to use the word boring again, but a lot of people think that's what science is like. So I chose the science of kissing, and I talked about how kissing came about, why we do it, you know, the changes in our brain that happen during kissing. So I talked about the evolution, the genetics and the chemistry that are involved, but I presented it in a way that was funny so that people would enjoy it and they would kind of forget that they were learning about science at the same time.
Surely a kiss is just, I don't know, just a kiss, is it not?
Well, that's what you think, but a kiss is more or less, you know, a taste test by nature to kind of find your best mate. So it's kind of evolution, trying to further your genetic line. So you need to find the person who's your best match. So a kiss is kind of, it's kind of like an interview to see if someone's good enough for you to keep them around long enough.
It's like an interview. So I don't know. This is
not like this kind of interview, obviously. Well, but
hope not for you. So, like, how, like, where did the idea come about?
After I heard about the competition, one of the things you're marked on is charisma. So I thought, there's no point picking something straightforward. You know, need to pick something everyone's interested in and something you can have a bit of fun with. So I thought, what is something I've always wanted to know? And I've always thought, who are the two people to first put their faces together? And like, why would you kiss? So like, it was kind of just an instinct. I just picked it. Obviously, it's an enjoyable topic, as everybody knows.
And so. It went down really well. It is. It's really quirky and it's really funny. So just how did the audience react? How did the judges react?
The audience, I was a bit nervous before I did the talk, but as soon as I went up and I started going through it, the audience, you know, there was a lot of laughing, a lot of clapping and stuff. So everyone was really into it. And the judges, because they're such pure scientists, I thought, you know, maybe they won't like it. But they really, really enjoyed it. And they told me after, you know, their decision was unanimous because it was such a good topic and it was so funny. So they seemed to really like it.
I'm still stuck by the idea of science and kissing, though. I can't work it out. So just to explain it again, because I really just can't get it.
Okay, so the theory is that kissing came from, you know, mothers feeding their young, mouth to mouth, just like a bird would do with its young. And from that, it kind of evolved into becoming, you know, a taste test to find a potential partner. But the theory is that when you kiss someone, you exchange genetic information, okay, through a sense of smell. And in that exchange, they're able to tell if you have a different immune system to theirs. And if they do, then you'll be a good match, because if you then have a child, the child will have, you know, the good from your immune system and the good of their immune system. So the more diverse it is, the better your child's going to be able to deal with disease.
Yeah. And what happens now? You won the competition. You go to...
I have to go to the UK final, and it's in April in London in Bloomsbury Theatre. And I'll be up against 9 other scientists from all over the UK. So Scotland, Wales, London. So I have to go up against them and do the same thing.
You have no idea what are those ideas, do you know?
I don't know, but I know that I think there are a few physicists in for it and a few biologists, but I don't know. Nobody knows what anyone's talk will be until the night.
Surely yours is going to be the most original idea, you would guess.
That's what I'm hoping, but you actually have to do a different talk for the final.
Right.
So I'll have to choose a different topic. But I think I'm going to choose something again that is to do with human behaviour that everyone can relate to.
So something similar, or?
Maybe a similar topic.
So are you working on it, or?
I'm kind of having a few ideas at the minute, so I have to put the speech together. But as long as it's kind of entertaining and interesting at the same time, I think I'll do okay.
And if you won the one in the UK, what happens then? Are you just the UK champion, or you're?
Well, you'll be the UK champion, but you then go through to the international final. I think there's 27 countries then, because it's, you know, there's someone representing the USA, people representing different countries in Asia and Europe. So you'll go through then and represent the UK in the international final.
And how did you get into this? What are you studying? You're at Queen's? What are you studying?
Yes, I'm actually a speech therapist. That's what I work as. But I'm at Queen's doing my master's in clinical anatomy. So you had to be working in science or studying in science. I think at master's level or above, so I was able to apply because I'm at Queen's doing my master's.
Yeah, okay. Eamon Maguire, thanks for joining us. It's a really quirky idea, and anybody who wants to see the video, I suppose they can just type in Eamon Maguire Fame Lab on YouTube, can they?
Yeah, and YouTube, just Eamon Maguire Fame Lab NI winner, and it's the first one that'll come up.
Yeah, it's a really funny video. So for anybody who watched it, I watched it earlier in the week. I think I watched it on Thursday, and it was really funny. So it's really good, and good luck in the final.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Eimear.
Eimear Maguire there, only a few minutes left in the show now. So thanks for joining us today. I was going to read out a few text messages, but I'm just looking. We don't have time. We're going to have to take a break before the news. We'll be back with the weekend edition next week, same time, 10 to 12. We're going to take a news and then we're going to take a break and then we'll go to Donal with the news. Same time next week, 10 to 12. If you're out and about this weekend, stay safe. Have a good Saturday afternoon. Goodbye.